256 lectures on Ancient philosophy. Since it is incapable either of being accepted into the nature of good or of attaching itself to the body of evil, as the element of concord is not common to the intrinsic nature of evil. Hence, good ever fortifies its own nature, while evil undermines itself by the ceaseless warfare between its own parts. In the unification of one good with another, the power of good is accordingly magnified. When one evil comes in contact with another evil, in the ensuing struggle each evil destroys the effectiveness of the other. In this way it becomes apparent that good, possessing the virtue of unity, must ever increase, until it includes everything within its own nature, while evil, in which the principle of diversity is inherent, will ultimately destroy itself by the continual controversy between its parts. It has been well said that two evils do not make one good, but attacking each other achieve their mutual destruction, and by self-elimination thus prepare the way for the irresistible progress of good. For this reason the Pythagoreans declared that the perfect numbers, the sum of whose fractional parts is equal to themselves, are the most rare, whereas the superabundant numbers, the sum of whose fractional parts is greater than themselves, and the deficient numbers, the sum of whose fractional part is less than themselves, are most common. This is based upon the fact that there are many ways by which any definite end may be accomplished, but only one of those ways is the best. Consequently, he alone is wise who can recognize the best, and he alone is strong who has the courage to use this method, regardless of the personal peril or responsibility involved. Therefore, while all natures partake to some degree of the good, only that is true which partakes in fullest measure of the good, and only one who is qualified to recognize good can make a rational choice between a number of bodies with qualitative differences. Concerning the doctrine of perfections as revealed by number bears, Thomas Taylor, in his Theoretic Arithmetic, sums up in the following words the opinions of Nicomachus, Macrobius, and Theon of Smyrna: perfect numbers, therefore, are beauty. Mathematics, the Master Science 257. Full images of the virtues which are certain media between excess and defect, and are not summits, as by some of the ancients they were supposed to be. An evil indeed is opposed to evil, but both are opposed to one good. Good, however, is never opposed to good, but to two evils at one and the same time. Thus timidity is opposed to audacity, to both, of which the want of true courage is common, but both timidity and audacity are opposed to fortitude. Craft also is opposed to fatuity, to both, of which the want of intellect is common, and both these are opposed to prudence. Thus, too, profusion is opposed to avarice, to both, of which illiberality is common, and both these are opposed to liberality. And in a similar manner in the other virtues, by all of which it is evident that perfect number bears have a great similitude to the virtues. But they also resemble the virtues on another account, for they are rarely found, as being few, and they are generated in a very constant order. On the contrary, an infinite multitude of superabundant and diminished numbers may be found, nor are they disposed in any orderly series, nor generated from any certain end, and hence they have a great similitude to the vices, which are number, eros, inordinate, and indefinite. For further details on this subject consult the chapter on Pythagorean mathematics in my recent work, An Encyclopedic Outline of Masonic, Hermetic, Kabbalistic and Rosicrucian Symbolical Philosophy. As the one represents the monad of unity, so the two as the monad of diversity is the moving spirit of irrationality. The conflict between rationality and irrationality may be likened to the proverbial concept of the two ends fighting the middle. Extremes are basically irrational, and only the point of equilibrium may be said to be established upon an enduring foundation. Furthermore, as the extremes pertain to the secondary creation, they are illusional when compared to the center, which is the primary and enduring creation. Thus, height and depth arc both opposed to the center, for depth departs from the center in a downward course, and height in an upward course. That which departs from center departs from balance, which is a principle exploited to its ultimate by Akiyama Shirobe in the 258 lectures on Ancient Philosophy. Theory of Judo or Jiu-Jitsu. The theory underlying Judo start from the mathematical principle that the stability of a body is destroyed as soon as the vertical line passing through its center of gravity falls outside its base. Once the individual is lured into jeopardizing his equilibrium, he becomes his own worst enemy and requires little outside assistance to bring about his downfall. The philosophic truth here revealed applies not only to the body but to the consciousness as well. When the self in equilibrium, signified by the one, is intrigued to incline from its poor feet state toward the extremes, signified by the two, it jeopardized its stability and is at the mercy of its adversary, diversity. Let the one signify permanence and the two life and death. Both life and death share the common vice of impermanence, as they both lack the common virtue of permanence. Therefore, it is as fatal for the one to incline toward life as toward death, for in assuming life it assumes that which must die, and in assuming death it assumes that which is corruptible and changeable. Only when dissociated from both is the perfection of endurance assured. Thus is revealed the stability of number and the instability of numbers, for all numbers, save the one, partake of the common evil of manyness and are involved in the process of generation, whereby imperfection perpetuates itself since it is incapable of enduring in its own nature. The self exists in dependent of generation in that, being indivisible, it is incorruptible, but the not-self, being divisible and corruptible, depends for its endurance upon generation and the renewal of it. Transitory bodies. Between the rational soul and mathematics is the sympathetic bond of similars. Preciseness, which is an attribute of the good, delights in precision, and order, which is a quality of number, rejoices in the continuity of similars and retired from the malarrangements of dissimilars. In facing inward to ward its own intrinsic perfection, the self becomes number. Regarding no number, or that cipher which precedes numeration, but facing outward toward bodies, it encounters the numerical classifications of orders and projections, and therefore stands in equilibrium between not being, which is the perfect and eternal being, and transitory being, which, in the terms of the ultimate, is not being. Thus self, the individual, is the monad of secondary natures and the paternal foundation of progeny, which are tertiary natures. Hence the one, which is the monad or archetype of good, and the two, which is the monad or archetype of evil, are both declared by the Pythagoreans to be no numbers but sacred qualities, namely, the primary and secondary natures. The three, or monad of tertiary natures, was regarded as the actual parent of numbers, or progeny. For three is a blending of similars, the one, and dissimilars, the two, and is consequently the proper foundation of compound bodies, which compounds must always consist of similars and dissimilars, similars being the spiritual and abiding parts and dissimilars the material and transitory parts. from the various orders of similars and dissimilars issue the multiplicities which are alluded to as the cogitations of divine mind. Thus, the first Trinity consists of the monad, the Father, the duad, the power, and the triad, the mind or monad of generations. For all generations consist of a rational nature, the monad, immersed in an irrational nature, the duad, toward some phase of which the monad inclines, or seems to incline, during the irrational epoch. Liberation, therefore, is the retirement of the monad from proximity to opposites, and the re-establishment of its own self-sufficiency by which it is capable of assimilating the qualities of the dissimilars and returning to its true abiding condition as the paternal foundation of generations. Cyrianus, the Pythagorean, declared that the wise, turning from the vulgar paths, delivered their philosophy in secret to those alone who were worthy to receive it and exhibited it to the rest of mankind through mathematical terminology. Forms. Therefore, they called numbers as being the first things separated from impartible union, for such natures as are above form arc also above separation and consequently pertain to the sphere of number itself. The sacred decad, or 10, is generated from the sum of the first four numbers, considering the 1 and 2 as numbers, 2, 3, and 4. The 1 was termed the first point. Mathematics, the Master Science 259. 260 lectures on ancient philosophy. The 2 the first interval, the 3 the first superficies, and the 4 the first solid. Thus Aristotle declared that the first permanence is the dot, the first length the duad, the first breadth the triad, and the first depth the tetrad. The nature of the tetrad, being that of the first solid or body, reveals why it is declared to be the symbol of God. The 4 is the demiurgus, whose substantial nature is the proper field of mundane fabrications. As 4 surfaces are the least number that can enclose an area, so the demiurgus is the first of areas or fields, and consequently the one in whom we live and move and have our being. Pythagoras further declared that knowledge existed in 4 states. The first, similar to the monad, was called intellect, the second, similar to the duad, science, the third, similar to the triad, opinion, and the fourth, similar to the tetrad, sense. It is evident that intellect partakes of the solidarity of the monad, for it is the immovable contemplation of relative mutations. The duad even fulfills the Baconian requirements for the constitution of science, for the two establishes the comparisons essen tile to the accumulation of knowledge through observation and experimentation. The three consists of three monads separated by two intervals. These intervals become the proper symbols of opinion, for opinions are founded not upon facts, monads, but upon the intervals between them, and two intervals are necessary for opinions in that opinions exhibit the qualities of dissimilars. The four consists of four monads and three intervals, which intervals may be likened to the dimensions length, breadth, thickness, for the monads are qualities manifesting in intervals or dimensions by which they are rendered appreciable to the sense perceptions. Thus the hidden symbolism of the tetractys, or pyramid of 10 dots, is unveiled. The four rows of dots further signify four qualities: form, order, beauty, unity, imperishably related to number. These qualities partake of excellence, and through their participation in the order of Kriya, should render the whole felicitous to the internal constitution. Their presence ensures the comparative excellence of forms and bodies.